You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord. After listening to a series on the fear of the Lord by Derek Prince, the Lord has convinced me to exhort on this topic and to study it in more detail so that we will be lifted up closer to Him in perfect harmony with His Holy Spirit and in the fear of the Lord. Every time in the Bible we hear it, an angel appears, and the first words are, "Fear not." Paul wrote it with strong faith to his young friend Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5-9, King James Version. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. We should not be ruled by fear. Fear, as Paul says of him being in prison, fear of being made fun of because we have problems finding the right words, but be confident of the power of God, finding perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord, and have the fear of the Lord move us upwards to greater and greater works. So then, what is the fear we speak of? The fear of the Lord. Or what is it not? It is not what I like to call false fear, and it is not religious fear. It is not fear of the punishment of God. Let's look at these fears one by one. Natural fear, demonic fear, religious fear. The fear of the Lord is neither one of these types of fears. Natural fear, that is, for instance, the fear of being at a great height, on the edge of a building where there are great winds, and you are on the edge. The first thing you do is step back because something might happen and you would fall down. Or another fear is that one that a soldier has when he is in battle and he does not know if over that hill or around the corner the enemy is lurking and waiting for him. Lastly, the fear of pain, which is a great and wonderful gift from God. Because of our fear of pain, we will not put our hand in boiling water or put our hand on the hot stove. Demonic fear. A demonic fear is something that holds us back from growing in the Lord and prevents us from being the sanctified, set-aside people that we need to be. It is preventing us from doing the normal things in life. Claustrophobia is one of these fears, or mysophobia, the fear of germs that would prevent us from picking up a Bible and reading it because it might have germs on it, or we would not be able to go to church because it might come to the point that we need to visit the restroom. This is a tormenting fear. Satan is the one that torments. God will never torment. Thus, we know that if a fear is giving us pain in a physical or psychological way, it surely is from a demonic power and not from the Lord. Religious fear. Religious fear is taught by men and comes from men. It is, for instance, superstition. If you do not do this, then God will do that to you. If you walk under a ladder, somebody will be struck by death. Or if you read this Bible version and not this one, then you will not know the real word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, Amplified Bible. And the Lord said, "For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but remove their hearts and minds far from me, and their fear and reverence for me are a commandment of men that is learned by repetition, without any thought as to the meaning, religious fear is superficial. Its effect is on the outer conduct. It is not from the heart of God. It does not free us from human fear. It provides a slavish attitude. It does not provide us with the fear that God desires. It is a fear of men, and it prevents us from walking in righteousness. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. What is the fear of the Lord? Now then, what is it, the fear of the Lord? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26, Amplified Bible. In the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children shall always have a place of refuge. To understand the fear of the Lord, we need to understand that this is something spiritual. But how do we understand something spiritual? Just accepting it by faith? Or is there another way? We first need to find something we can comprehend with our senses. Then, when we have found that, we can find a parallel of this in the spiritual realm. This is the main application used in the parables of Jesus. Earlier, we talked about standing on that rooftop. I remember standing on this rooftop, and as it was always windy, it was also pretty scary. So let's say, my friends, that you are standing with me on that rooftop, enjoying the scenery, which on a bright day gives us views so far that in the Netherlands it is not known by many. Then, because of that wonderful view, we are losing track of time, and we have a very important meeting coming up. We need to get down to the ground floor, and we need to go there fast. But there are only two ways to go. One way brings an uncertain, or maybe also a real certain future if we go with our imagination, and the other way just brings certainty. Both ways will bring us down. In the direction of that one, we see the River Maas, and some boats, and on the street below, bicyclists and cars. In the other direction, we see doors that lead to an elevator. Both ways will bring us to the ground floor, one way in the form of destruction, and the other way in the form of a secure and safe and slow means of transportation. Now, how in the name of our Lord can that lead into any spiritual comparison concerning the fear of the Lord? Many people don't know it, but they believe that they are Superman. Oh no, let's step back. They believe they are Jesus. Satan told Jesus on the top of the temple that when he would jump, the angels would catch him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, New International Version, 1984. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. People have a lot of faith in themselves and not that much in God. In other words, they are putting self, belongings, or other things before him. Jesus answered Satan with Holy Scripture and said that we should not tempt God. Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 to 3, New International Version, 1984. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Giving God total preeminence, nothing comes before God, and nothing will be there instead of God. If God is willing to reveal himself to us, share himself with us, and offer himself up for us, God the Almighty God, how then can we, the minute beings, dare to put anything or anybody beside him or instead of him? This would be idolatry fed by the wrong type of fear. In our silly example, the fear of being late instead of being dead. True fear of God. Jacob went away, fled away from Laban after years of work, for his wives Leah and Rachel, and for his flock. In this part of the story, we find a great and wonderful statement. Pay close attention to verse 42. Genesis chapter 31, verses 30 to 42, New International Version, 1984. Now you have gone off because you longed to return to your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Jacob answered Laban, I was afraid, because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find anyone who has your gods, he shall not live. In the presence of our relatives, see for yourself whether there is anything of yours here with me, and if so, take it. Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the gods. So Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two maidservants, but he found nothing. After he came out of Leah's tent, he entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them inside her camel's saddle and was sitting on them. Laban searched through everything in the tent, but found nothing. Rachel said to her father, Don't be angry, my lord, that I cannot stand up in your presence. I'm having my period. So he searched, but couldn't find the household gods. Jacob was angry and took Laban to task. What is my crime? He asked Laban. What sin have I committed that you hunt me down? Now that you have searched through all my goods, what have you found that belongs to your household? Put it here in front of your relatives and mine, and let them judge between the two of us. I have been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flocks. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself, and you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for the 20 years I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked you. That is a strange phrase, the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac. The fear of Isaac is the fear of God. You can truly make anything your God as long as you fear it badly enough more than you love God. In God's love, we can see Jesus as our example. Jesus, our example. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, Amplified Bible. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, David's father, and a branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness and justice shall he judge the poor and decide with fairness for the meek, the poor, and the downtrodden of the earth. And he shall smite the earth and the oppressor with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. The spirit of the fear of the Lord, his delight is in the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. This is unfolding the aspects of the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, which also comes back to us and makes it then through Isaiah more understandable in Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, Amplified Bible. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and in front of the throne 7 blazing torches burned, which are the 7 spirits of God, the 7-fold Holy Spirit. We are talking here about the 7 manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the 7 forms in which we might know him. The Spirit of the Lord speaking in the first person, as the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity and thus is God. The Spirit of wisdom, the same Spirit of God that provided wisdom to Solomon, is providing it to you. No, There will never be anyone with such great wisdom as Solomon, but the source of your wisdom is the same. It is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of understanding, which shows and sees through the eyes of God. The Spirit of counsel, which provides the right words at the right time. The Spirit of might, that makes us strong in Christ, that makes us rich in His love and persistent where we are not. The Holy Spirit that helps us to finish where we would definitely drop the ball. The Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit that shows us the truths in text and understanding where we never had it before. Looking at the words through Him. The fear of the Lord, definitely not the least among them. Jesus had the fear of the Lord given to him by the Holy Spirit. The fear of the Lord imparted by the Holy Spirit, it combined the character of Jesus with the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed the fear of the Lord, how much more is it that we need the fear of the Lord? Isaiah chapter 11 verse 3. His delight is the fear of the Lord, a great example manifested in Christ. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 7 to 8, King James Version. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus was heard. Why? Because he feared. Why did God always answer the prayers of Jesus? Because Jesus prayed out of godly fear. The fear of the Lord. As Jesus said in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but your will be done." Nothing is more important than God's will. Nothing comes before God. The first commandment, as we read earlier, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. The early church suffered under much persecution. I, as a Christian, complain a lot about how we, as Christians, cannot say this anymore or do that anymore. We need to stay politically correct, or otherwise, we get in trouble. This, however, is nothing compared to how it was in the first century when people like Saul of Tarsus were persecuting the first believers. However, a time of rest came. Acts chapter 9, verse 31, Amplified Bible. So the church throughout the whole of Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was edified, growing in wisdom, virtue, and piety, and walking in the respect and reverential fear of the Lord, and in the consolation and exhortation of the Holy Spirit, continued to increase and was multiplied. We can look at the churches in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, where peace returned. God's shalom and growth were coming in knowledge and in numbers of people, not by their own power and knowledge, but by the fear of the Lord, in praises and in worship, in the consoling and counseling of one another, in the preaching of God's word through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit counsels and consoles, but not before the fear of the Lord. That comes first. One is not able to go without the other, the reverent awe of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the comfort of the Lord. This brings us God's peace, shalom, edification, and growth. There is no building up, edification possible without the fear of the Lord. Almost in closing, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, King James Version, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Not too long ago, I heard somebody say that they would never submit to somebody in church, yes to their spouse, but never accept the spiritual authority that God has given in the church. God's delegated authority, which comes down into all levels of society, and with that definitely in the church, how much more could a person in this case be out of the fear of the Lord, and in that out of the peace of God, out of the possibilities to be built up, in stature, in respect, in growth opportunities with God, and in the society we live, work, and worship in? Doing it on your own without the fear of the Lord might give a fast, booming success, but long-term, it will be a complete disaster and an utter failure. No submission, no fear of the Lord, no success. God's plan is simple, God's plan is thorough, God's plan is empowering, and God's plan is success. The last and final reason for today on the fear of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 17 to 19, Common English Bible. Since you call upon a father who judges all people according to their actions without favoritism, you should conduct yourselves with reverence during the time of your dwelling in a strange land. Live in this way, knowing that you are not liberated by perishable things like silver or gold from the empty lifestyle you inherited from your ancestors. Instead, you were liberated by the precious blood of Christ, like that of a flawless, spotless lamb. God does not have favoritism towards anybody. Conduct yourself in the fear of the Lord with reverence while we live and work on this earth. We are not accountable to the world, but to God. Why? Because He already paid the price in verse 19 through the precious blood of Christ Jesus.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.